worship you, as did wise men many years ago. You still call for worship because indeed you are God, the God of all creation, the God of redemption, the God who will one day return in consummation of the world, the universe, and all that you have created. And you're going to make it new. You promise that we who follow you as your servants, as your disciples, as your children, will be there for eternity. God, help us to have ears that will listen, eyes that will see, a heart and a mind that will respond. Holy Spirit, please apply this word to us personally. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Jesus, the King of Kings, came into this world in a very unusual way. Not in the typical way that a king would come. There was no pomp and circumstance. There was no excitement. The political leaders despised him. Remember where it said, Herod heard that this king was born and he was disturbed, greatly disturbed. So the political leaders did not like him. The religious leaders rejected him because he did not fulfill their expectations. He was not sought out by the people of his own community. They didn't even recognize it. They did not come to him because he was born in such a small, insignificant town of Bethlehem. His mother, a common ordinary peasant. His father, just a carpenter. No one of great prestige. Although his line could be drawn back to King David. That should say something, but still, there was no fanfare whatsoever when God himself, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, enters into our world and begins his life here for us. He was clothed in humility, being born in an obscure town, and being laid not in a bed studded with gold and silver and gems, but rather straw and cattle and other animals would feed. No celebration and no recognition from his own people, the Jews. The shepherds were the first that were told, correct? They knew. How did they know, though?
Angel.
The angels had to tell them. Otherwise, they would not have known. And when they went and they worshipped, and then they went back and told others, and others were astounded, amazed at what they said, but it didn't seem like it really spread very far, and that they were just amazed. And then there was Simeon and Anna. They also prophesied about this being the Messiah. How did they know? God told them. They didn't know on their own. They wouldn't have known on their own. To look at this little baby born and brought to the temple 8 days later for circumcision, did he look like anyone, everyone else? Yes. Did he look like God? No. Did he smell like God? No. Did he speak like God? No. There was absolutely nothing different about him than any other child born. In fact, they say he wasn't even that handsome that he would draw people to him. That's God. That's your Savior and mine. For nearly or around 2 years, he lived in Bethlehem. And for 2 years, he continued to live there with his parents in obscurity. You would think after 2 years, people would come and recognize him and say, my, this is God. Look what the shepherd said, and so on and so forth. There was nothing. In fact, I think that it's possible that the people and the gossip went around the town thinking, this is the child that was born of Mary. Who had an illicit affair. Not Joseph's son at all. There, the ridicule and the persecution began for the 2 years in Bethlehem. It is so easy to miss God or other things when we are so busy with life, the necessities of life, right? Easy to miss God and other things when our expectations aren't what they should be. You can look for something, some material thing. And you have, generally, at least I do, you have a picture of it in your mind, what you're looking for. And if it doesn't fit exactly what you're looking for, you can look right past it. Because that doesn't match what I'm looking for. And then if you're a man, your wife comes along and says, well, there it is right there, but bites you in the nose. You can see it. But it's not just men, it's women too. We can avoid or miss things because our expectations are one thing, but what we're looking for is a different, or just because we're so busy we don't take the time to find it, or to seek it out, or to take the time to listen, or whatever it is that needs to be required. And so we can easily miss God, and we can easily miss His activities in our life because we're expecting something else. We anticipate God to work this way or that way or not this way. We think, well, that's not God. He's not in it. When in reality, He is. The people in Bethlehem, many others, were right there. He doesn't fit our expectations of the king. He should not come in this manner or in this dinky little town. He should be in Jerusalem, where all royalty resides. No, he wasn't. So they missed him. It wasn't until after the Magi came, who traveled some 700-800 miles from the east, that awareness picked up and questions were surrounding this individual. The Magi, well, we sang the song, We Three Kings, but they weren't kings. They weren't labeled kings until some 600 years later. So they weren't kings. Magi were probably astrologers, maybe philosophers from the east. As you read in Daniel, where Daniel had visions, you know, when the king says, interpret this, and he's really called all the astrologers and the philosophers and the magi and the magicians. Magi. They were not kings, they were not royalty. In fact, they were probably servants of rulers. They didn't have a high position at all. They were viewed as people, at least by the Jews and Matthew and others, they were viewed as people who did not have any learning that was of any significance. So they were not way up there with the PhD. They were brilliant men that we should stop and listen what they had to say. It wasn't that at all. In fact, they were probably, in all likelihood, from Babylon, worshiping a god that was in the antithesis of the Jewish God, serving a government that was against the Israelite people, or the Jewish people. So there was nothing in common whatsoever. Would the people in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas, or any of the Jews, expect a Magi to come and worship the baby, Jesus? Absolutely not. Because they were so insignificant. And because they were the antithesis of Judaism, everything that Judaism stands for. In a supernatural way, find a supernatural child. I think we probably identify more with Israel than the Magi. And people in general do, I believe. Jesus does not meet, well, let me qualify that. The Jesus of the Bible does not meet many of the expectations that people have of God today. And the younger you get, the more unrealistic expectations people have, for whatever reason. But he doesn't fit in the box that I have, that God should fit into. So we reject him. There's also the idea that I can handle it myself. I don't need God's intervention. We have the idea that I can find God on my own when I need him. Or I'm just simply fine without him. All of those things. Israel was entertaining all of those same ideas. So we just leave the baby in a manger. He's nothing different. And he wouldn't come that way anyway. The Magi? What about the Magi? How far did they travel? What were they searching for? They were searching for the king of Judah. No. The king of Jerusalem. No. They weren't looking for a king of a territory. King of the Jews, the Messiah, that the Jewish scriptures prophesied and spoke about. They were in search. They weren't just sitting back waiting for someone to tell them, spoon feed them the truth. They were in search for the truth, and they were willing to put in time and expense and effort and even compromise their safety of traveling that far from the east to Jerusalem. Find this mysterious king whose star they saw in the east. Supernatural, mysterious star. Nothing would stand in their way, no obstacles. They were determined and they would make their way there no matter what. How many people have that attitude about worshiping God today? Inconvenient to travel 10 miles to church in our warm cars, heated seats, heated steering wheels, GPS navigation, sitting in cushy chairs or pews in a heated church. Right? It's easier to lay in bed. Easier to get up late and leisure around and just do whatever we please because after all, it's the only day you're off. The Magi said, we are going because this is important to find the God of the Jews who was born, King of the Jews, Savior of the world, Messiah, take away their sins. I'm sure they did not understand all of that at all. I'm sure they did not, because of some of the things that were said about them. However, in all of the wisdom that we call the Magi, right, the wise men, weren't all that wise when it came to spiritual matters. Kings, they were not kings. But in all of their wisdom, they finally came to Jerusalem, not on their own, right? They didn't have their little compass or GPS or anything else. How did they get there? Star. Supernatural guidance by God intervening in their lives led them to Jerusalem. They get to Jerusalem. Where's the star? It disappeared, doesn't it? Why strange? Was Jesus in Jerusalem? No. But it's gone. I imagine they would have thought, well, this Jesus is somewhere here in Jerusalem. So, continue to inquire. They inquired of the king. Well, surely the king would know where the new king is. He didn't have a clue. He was greatly disturbed, irritated, annoyed. Murderous ideas were in his mind from the get-go. Find this child so I can kill him. I can get everyone else to secure my position as king of the Jews, king of this territory. The wise men were led by a star to ultimately worship the bright and morning star mentioned in Revelation. So King Herod asks the right people. Amazing. He calls in the teachers, the religious leaders, and the rulers, and he says, where is this king of the Jews supposed to be born? Surely you know. And of course, their reply was real quick. Oh, in Bethlehem. Our scriptures tell us that. It's only 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Yeah. 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Where was the star? Why was the star missing in Jerusalem? Because they didn't need it. Why didn't they need it? Because in Jerusalem they had people who understood where the Messiah would be born. And so God said to them in a roundabout way, just like he says to you and I, you all have a brain. Right? You all have a brain. Use your brain. And search it out and use the resources that are available to you and discover what you're searching for. Don't expect a miracle or supernatural wonders every time you turn around and we're looking for an answer from God. And sometimes people do that. Maybe I'll have a vision or a dream. I'll wait for that. You'll be waiting till you're blue in the face because chances are God isn't going to give it to you. He's given you many other resources that we can use, specifically His Word, and of course continued prayer, to discover His will. He will also bring people into our lives to show us those things. So what did God do with the Magi? He used Herod, He used the teachers, the Jewish teachers and leaders, and He told them, where is the child to be? Bethlehem. Okay, we're up on our way. They go on the way, they start in the south from Jerusalem to go to Bethlehem, and what did they discover? Star. Yeah. But they didn't know exactly where the baby was going to be. They needed God to tell them even that, even in the little town. Because I'm sure there were many children. Remember, Jesus is about 2 years old now. He wasn't the little baby in the manger, he's about 2 years old. There's a lot of 2-year-olds running around. And they all look similar. Who is it going to be?
Don't know.
They're going to need guidance. So God reappears the star and leads them to the very house where they're to be found. God led them just like God needs to lead us. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit genders hunger in our heart for truth, spiritual truth. It does not come about on our own. So anytime you have a desire to learn about God, learn about His Word, or be drawn to God, don't ever imagine that that's all on your own. It is not. The opposite is true for our nature. To avoid God, to care less, to be indifferent. But if we have a desire and a hunger for God, where does that come from? God, the Holy Spirit. And what does He use for us to feed on to satisfy that hunger? The Word of God. The Bible. Not mysterious visions and dreams and supernatural things where you see Jesus' face in some mural or some mountain or some weird concoction like that. God is saying, I have given you my word, I have preserved it, I will speak to you through that. I have given you the tool of prayer, use that, and I have given you the Holy Spirit to speak to you. So He leads us. He gives us the hunger. He gives us wisdom through His word. He gives us His word. So upon the arrival at the house where Mary and Joseph were living and little Jesus, little toddler running around, just like any other little toddler, what do the Magi do? We don't know how many there were. The song popularizes it as three of them. Gave three gifts, so we assume it was three of them. There were more. That's not the point. What did they do? First thing they did was worship. They bowed down and worship. Can you picture this? Grown men from the East, non-Jews, ignorant about spiritual matters, bowing down, prostrate like they do in the East even today, before a two-year-old. What were these men saying to Mary and Joseph and others? This two-year-old is a king. A tremendous proportion. Who will influence not only the people of Israel, but the entire world for all time. It's hard to get your brain around. You look at the 2-year-olds today. And children then were not significant. They didn't have any wisdom or advice to give to anyone. They gave it to them. Yet they worshipped this child, emphasizing humility and the very identity of Jesus Christ. They gave him honor, submission, and ultimately obedience and love. That is what worship is, isn't it? And so when we come today and every Sunday to worship the Lord, isn't that what we come for? Worship, right? Worship before the King. We don't come together just to socialize. We don't come together to pontificate spiritual understanding or ideas or the latest philosophy. We come together for one main reason. To worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah. The baby who was born 2,000 years ago, grew up, hung on a cross, laid in a cold tomb, rose again 3 days later and ascended into heaven and says, I'm coming back for you. That's our focus. Not on anything else. Not the decor of the church, the color of the carpeting, the flowers. Who's wearing what? Who's here, who isn't here, who's in my seat, or anything else. We come to worship God. And that begins before the service begins, or at least it should. Because we come into church, and I've said this before, I believe, we come into church with what's on our mind. A gazillion things, right? That can oftentimes rob us of our attention to God and His Word and the Holy Spirit's small voice. We enter into, what is this called? Sanctuary. Leave all the noise out there. We come in here, in quietness, and we think about God. We prepare to meet God. That is what worship is. meeting God. Our spirit, communion with the Holy Spirit. It isn't just some fictitious idea in our mind. God is truly here. He doesn't just reside in heaven. He's here with us. Right? Emmanuel, God with us. Communion, what is in the elements? God Himself. So we come, we need to be prepared to worship, to meet the Lord every Sunday. What did the Magi do then after they worshiped? Not before, but after. They gave gifts. Yes. They gave gifts that would be normally given to any monarch. I mean, Jesus was not a monarch. He was even more than a king. He was the Savior. So there's some things that indicate that they didn't know exactly who Jesus was, but they knew he was very special and supernatural, being led by the star. But they gave him gifts. We too give him gifts, don't we? We give him our time. We give him our attention. We give him our resources. We give him our abilities and our talents. We use them for him. We give him our mind and our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So we give gifts as well. But what comes first is worship. And really, giving of ourselves and all that we have is an act of worship. So we're still worshiping God even in the giving. We need to be like the Magi. Seek God. Worship Him. Serve Him. Give Him of ourselves. The Magi, they truly were ignorant men to whom God revealed the Christ child. Without divine intervention, we are ignorant men and women who are in need of supernatural intervention to show and to reveal to us Christ child, our need of a Savior, and His love for you and I. Will you seek the Lord this year? I mean, seek the Lord. Desire to know Him better in His Word and in your life. Pray and ask God to open our eyes that we might see Him and not be blinded by the busyness and our unrealistic expectations of what we think. God in heaven, it is absolutely amazing what you have put in your word, which covers all the areas and aspects of life and thinking. Not only over 2,000 years, but since the creation of the world to the very end. Your supernatural stamp upon your word is overwhelming. We ask God that you would help us to have a new respect and reverence for your word, from the very first verse to the very last. And that our decisions, our thinking, might be based upon your word and not human opinion. May your word be that foundation upon which we base and rest and build our lives, families, occupation, everything else that we do in life. Until you call us home. In Christ's name.